You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Pigeon is the name of a restaurant that has opened, not coincidentally, across from Pigeon Park in the downtown east side. It's the latest small business to set up in the neighborhood and has drawn much attention to itself, not only for its food, but its conspicuous location and style. For the past 3 weeks, the sidewalk in front of Pigeon has been the site of a picket. Now we're joined in the studio by two of the picket's organizers, Tammy Starlight, Cree from the Pegwas Nation, a longtime downtown Eastside resident, a community organizer, and anti-oppression activist, and Wendy Peterson, another longtime downtown Eastside resident, mother, and housing activist, who's been researching and organizing against gentrification in the downtown Eastside for many years. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the restaurant first. Can you describe the Pigeon Restaurant to us?
Pigeon Restaurant, means broken English. It means a number of things. We definitely believe that it's actually satirizing the people in the park. Also, perhaps even making light of the colonization and the people that are there who are drinking or using whatever that is that they're using, who are some of the most abused people in Canada.
Pigeon is a term which I've heard used. I'm not super familiar with the term, but it's one that means broken English, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Wendy, could you describe the restaurant itself? It's what the restaurant looks like and what they serve there.
Okay, it just opened 3 weeks ago, and they have a high-end chef, a Japanese chef, who people were waiting in Vancouver for him to open up his restaurant. They sell things like a plate of pickles for $5 as an appetizer, and they have entrees up to $25 a plate. And they have a menu item called Tongue in Cheek, just to pick up on what Tammy is saying about the name, the pigeon name, and the sort of satirical twist that they've got there on being in the neighborhood. When they opened up, they had their windows were so clear, and this seating was facing the window, so people could look out across the street at the people at the park, as Tammy was saying. With their crystal glasses, their shining lights, eating really expensive food, we couldn't not do anything. And there's also a context to talk about that in order to understand really what pigeon means in the downtown Eastside, we have to talk about that bigger context.
And I want to get to that context because I think it's very important. But someone showed me something from the website which kind of conveyed this idea. In addition to, it's not just that there is a restaurant for people who are affluent in an area that is obviously has a lot of poor people in it, but it's also a sense of voyeurism. How does that come across?
I can think of a few words, and some of them I probably can't say on the air, but certainly the when the picket started, we were feeling very, very angry at the way things were set up, the name, the way the windows were facing the park, and all of these things. Even the menu, it was just like, wow, like we can't believe this restaurant exists, and look where it is. It's like right at the edge of the periphery of gentrification of our community.
Mm. And the voyeuristic element is people are sitting there in their chairs looking across the street at some of the most abused people, as Tammy said, in Canada, residential school survivors, and gawking at poverty. And just the disparity between that, the rich there eating and the very, very poor outside, just it would seem to us to be so disrespectful. So as a result of our picket, week two, the owner has frosted the windows. But I heard him on TV explaining why. It wasn't to protect the people outside from being gawked at. It was to create a space that's comfortable for his customers inside so they don't have to worry about the picketers.
So interesting, originally looking out, and then we need to kind of block that view because someone's looking back.
That's right.
Very interesting. What is the context, the broader context for this restaurant at this place at Pigeon Park in the center of the downtown Eastside? Talk about that.
Well, Pigeon Restaurant opened up on a major fault line, I've been calling it. It's a place of high tension. The units of housing above the Pigeon Restaurant used to be low-income rental apartments, and I was there in 2008 to try to defend people from evictions. That building was emptied, and now the condos sold for up to $380,000 for those units. Across the street, there was an old hotel that evicted all of its tenants. It's now owned by the chair of the Gastown BIA, and he's converted it into micro lofts. And those hotel units now rent for $975 a month. There's a massive condo tower planned across the street, and it's been on the books for about 2 or 3 years now. It's going to come eventually above the Center A, the BC Electric building, 15 to 20 story tower. Just across the street from Pigeon, they've opened up a donut shop that sells $3 donuts. The Bottle Depot right around the corner from Pigeon is moving out of the neighborhood. The city has been trying to move that Bottle Depot for 10 years, and they finally succeeded, and it is leaving the neighborhood. So Pigeon is on the line. And the major thing, the real reason why I'm there, is the city is about to rezone the downtown east side once and for all. So everything from Carroll to Clark Drive is going to change quickly with this rezoning in the next 6 months. So we've spent our time, and we believe it will be high-end. The city will rezone the downtown east side for high-end all the way through the Oppenheimer area to Clark Drive. So I've spent, and others, hundreds of us have spent the last 10 years at City Hall meetings, in delegations to City Hall. We've done research and reports. We've done tons of friendly actions, media stunts to get attention and sympathy to the public. And now we're at the wire. So we're asking people to join us at this picket, and we want to move this fight into the street. It doesn't feel comfortable. I'm not enjoying myself there. I don't like being yelled at by the owner and by the patrons, some of the patrons that are trying to go and eat there. I don't enjoy attacking some of the little crumbs that this owner might be giving to the community, like sandwiches to the street market. But I think this is the thing we need to do. We need to build these pickets, and we need to turn away customers, because I think that's our only hope to get what we need and what residents need in this neighborhood.
Talk a little bit about the owner, because from what I understand, the owner is saying that somehow he is contributing to the community. What's your response to that?
Washing dishes, washing his window. I mean, it's all rather distasteful, truly. I mean, people who could possibly understand class issues would easily, hopefully, understand that, you know, giving somebody a bowl of soup or a sandwich is just charity. We want justice, not charity. And, you know, we want him to engage with the community and engage with political levers within the city that continue to ruin our community. And he's not. I mean, he's just basically, here's a sandwich and I'll give you a job washing dishes, and that somehow it's saving our community, or he's engaged in our community in any way. He's not even from here. He's a marketer, speculator, and all of these things that are very typical of high-end restaurants that come into a low-income neighborhood like this.
The owner, we also discovered, was a high-frequency stock trader before he got into the high-end restaurant business. So if he's being pitched by the media as a mom-and-pop shop, he's not a mom-and-pop shop. So people shouldn't feel... I mean, people feel sorry for him anyways, because they hold the entrepreneur as sacred in our society. But he's at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, and there's way too much at stake. We need 5,000 units of housing to replace the hotels. The other thing we didn't talk about is we are losing housing in this neighborhood faster than we are gaining it for low-income people. And there is a report that's just been released in the community that documents the rent increases. And last year, we lost 450 units of housing to rent increases. Last year, we gained 26 social housing units. And last year, we gained about 150 condo units. So people need to understand the scale of what's happening and the facts about what's happening. So we feel kind of on the high ground. Even though it's an edgy, difficult thing to do, I know we're right.
Wendy, we've talked many times over the year, and Co-op Radio used to be at Pigeon Park, at the very much across the street in that building above there. So we're very familiar with how things have changed in this neighborhood over the years. We see it every week. We see changes. This restaurant isn't the thin edge of the wedge. The wedge is very, very, very far into this neighborhood. Why did this focus end up being on this restaurant in particular? Like, what is the particular twist that it's adding to gentrification that has just made you say this is where we have to really cross the line and start to do something which you're actually uncomfortable with but thinks needs to happen?
Well, it was actually a guy named Homeless Dave who started the picket and who put us up to this. And what he says is, we are at saturation point. And this restaurant represents the threshold of invasion that's happening in this community. And we need to put a stop now. It happens to be the most recently opened restaurant as well. And it happens to be at a place that it has so much disparity that it's an obvious target. And it's also on the line where the zoning is going to change. So it's got a lot of, it's packed full of meaning for us, and we are hoping that that story can get out there into the public, and it's not on the mainstream media. I don't think I've ever seen such horrible media, I guess since the ABC, they got horrible media too. But this is the worst treatment of the mainstream media that I've ever encountered.
Tammy, talk about the response. You've been on the picket every day. What kind of response have you gotten from customers? What range of response? Because I'm sure it's not a monolith.
The customers. Well, I mean, I'd like to think that, you know, people would engage in meaningful dialogue. I mean, it has happened from time to time, but the majority of the people who frequent the restaurant has been pretty bad to, like, completely ignoring us. I was there on a Saturday night a week ago today, and people came in cabs. They pulled up about 20 feet away in the cab, but yet they said, "Can you pull up right to the door so we can, like, open the door of the cab and, like, go right in," literally, like, from door to door. And it really struck me, because cab after cab of people coming from other neighborhoods were coming into our community and frequenting the restaurant. But it's not just the people. I mean, and that's why we talk about mainstream media. The mainstream media has been just relentless, and they have a vested interest in things being in gentrifying our neighborhood. And I feel really frustrated by the mainstream media, and I feel that they're very, very awful. So support Co-op Radio.
Hey.
But I also wanted to add that it's not only the patrons that we're talking to. We're talking to people that are just walking around the neighborhood. And the people who are new to our community have some really, really bad attitudes. I'm just atrocious. And they're probably not listening, and that's fine. Maybe they should. At the end of the day, you know, it's becoming quite clear that this is a very divisive issue, and people are very divided either on one side or the other. From time to time, you get the odd person actually show up with the sincere intention of actually learning something and having a dialogue between us and them, and they can share their experiences and we share ours, and they came away with a different outlook. And I'm feeling positive about that.
And our goal is to turn away customers, by the way. And we're coasting right now, but it could ramp up to a more stronger turn away of people, we're hoping, in the next little while. And I think this picket idea is going to expand to other places as a tactic that's necessary at this time.
What's been the response, the official response from the city and the police?
Well, Mayor Robertson has been on the radio saying things like harassment is not acceptable, and we support new business, we want new development, and we are building lots of supportive housing in the neighborhood is coming online. And he does not mention rent increases, he does not mention housing loss. So it's unfortunate. The city, I see Vision Vancouver as complicit in the displacement of downtown Eastside residents, and I'm actually kind of embarrassed for them because they're supposed to be the progressive government in Vancouver. Mm. Some of them have long histories of working in unions, and I think Jeff Meggs started off as a communist. Well, he's not doing justice to the struggles of low-income and working-class people right now. Mm-hmm. The Downtown East Side is the radical working-class neighborhood and has been for the last 100 years, and this is part of that tradition. And I think it's the last stand for low-income people as people are getting wiped out. So I'm disappointed that the city is not backing us up. The VPD has been doing soft harassment. Yesterday, they were there taking pictures of me across the street, and I walked up across the street, and I said, why are you taking pictures of me? It's just scaring away my friends who would come and stand here with me because they know that you're going to target us eventually. So stop taking pictures. And the guy's like, oh, you know, you think you can do whatever you want, but, you know, this is... You know, we have a right to take pictures, blah, blah, blah. He stopped taking pictures, but that's the kind of, and they'll come and park and flash their lights in front, but they can't actually do anything to us because what we're doing is not illegal. Dissent is not illegal, but they're trying to intimidate us to leave, and we're not going to.
Tell me what you expect will happen in the future with the picket.
I hope it will expand, and I hope we will turn away more customers. And I hope it will expand at the Pigeon site, and I hope it will expand to other sites as they try to open up in the neighborhood, retail as well as condo gentrification, condos. And the reason why retail is so important to stop is it sends a signal to the city and the business and the developers that this neighborhood is not for sale, that we need to get the housing in place for the people that live here now. We need a plan that works for low-income people. And then, you know, we could look at adding other elements to this neighborhood. But until that happens, it's not for sale. So we want to send that message that it's going to be risky to come and do your business here.
And I understand there's about 50 picketers so far working on shifts on this. In addition to picketing with you, what can people do to either change a perception of this or to lend a hand or to offer support?
I think the main thing is to put pressure on Vision and for Vision to do the right thing by low-income people in the Downtown East Side and to help see through their number game that they keep throwing back to the public because it really confuses people. They need to look at the grassroots research, the participatory and grassroots research that's being done, and they need to hold Vision's feet to the fire.
I'm on the land area planning process for the Downtown East Side, and they seem to keep referring to us to not to us, but I mean in terms of like we've been to City Hall in the past couple of weeks about Main Street. There's 611 and 633 there's a 17 story and a 15 story condo tower going in there. And they keep referring to the LAP as sort of like, let's wait to the LAP. We're wanting to defer to the LAP. You know, we're waiting for this process to happen. And when I first joined the LAP, one of the very first things I said is that if we don't begin to have levers and mechanisms in place to slow down gentrification, we won't have a community to actually talk about when we're finished. It'll be completely different. And it's already happening. And, you know, all this sort of political speak and double talk by Vision Vancouver is really alarming and really disheartening to me as a person in the community, and I certainly don't support that kind of rhetoric for sure.
That community planning table, the results of that community planning table, we fear will end up in a zoning for the neighborhood that will bring in way more high-end housing and retail. So as Tammy and others are sitting at this planning table talking, as she says, then gentrification is happening at light speed. And then we also don't trust the result will be beneficial to low-income people.
Well, thank you both very much for coming in here, and good luck with the struggle.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Tammy Starlight and Wendy Peterson about the ongoing picket at the Pigeon Restaurant in the Downtown East Side.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.